Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey gang, this is Alex, all alone here. It's very atypical. I usually have Casey with me, but I come to you as a man stripped bare. I'm fully clothed. Here is the thing. Mommy and Daddy hate doing this, but we made a boo-boo. The episode you're about to listen to is part of our Excellent Adventure series, where we go back and we talk about past trees, okay? That we've already covered on the podcast. This is the Arborvita 2 episode. So this is the second time we're talking about the Arborvita, but we are talking about it under the context of the Northern White Cedar. So here's the rub. Casey and I say Eastern White Cedar about a million times this episode. Like over and over, to the point where it starts to feel like not a mistake. But it was. We say Eastern White Cedar when we meant to say Northern White Cedar. They're both common names for this tree, Thuja occidentalis. But according to Casey, it's like 99% of people call it the Northern White Cedar, and like, you know, 1%, which is Casey and I, call it the Eastern White Cedar. So our apologies. And we're doing this little recording in lieu of re-recording the episode. So we hope you enjoy this episode with that little disclaimer. And anytime we say Eastern White Cedar, just edit in your mind a little cut and put in this. Northern White Cedar. All right, that's all. We hope you enjoy the episode. Much love to you. Bye.
Hi, welcome to the future. San Dimas, California, 2688. Actually, you know what? I don't want to do this twice. Just listen in.
Whoa, dude, where are we?
Welcome to the future. San Dimas, California, 2688.
Ah, the air is, it's so clean.
The water, it's so clean.
The dirt is so clean.
And it's all thanks to Completely Arbitrary.
What?
I'm just joking. Completely Arbitrary enjoyed middling success for years, but ultimately its lasting impact was mediocre.
Okay, TMI.
Anyway, I just thought we'd come to beautiful San Dimas for a day off.
That sounds great. All this time traveling is really wearing me out.
I don't buy it. So there's no episode this week?
Nope.
No lesson we have to learn?
Nope. Hey, look who it is.
Tobin! That guy looks just like you.
Hey, guys.
Alex, Casey, meet Clobin, my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson.
Oh, come on, Zeta. I'm not that great.
Wait, Clobin, you can see us?
Of course.
So last week, Shigeru Miki was just ignoring us?
Yeah, sorry to deceive you. I just bring a lot of people to him, and I didn't want you guys embarrassing me. We have an understanding.
So he saw me, do that thing?
Yeah.
Bummer, dude.
Hey, Tobin, I want to spend some time with your boys, Casey and Alec. Here's 10 space bucks. Go get yourself a sandwich at Space Cantor's.
Gee, thanks, Bubula.
See you guys later.
Bye, Tobin.
Alex, Casey, walk with me. There's a beautiful space arboretum close by. I'd just love to show you.
Exciting. Wow, the street trees here are gorgeous.
They really are. Don't they kind of look familiar?
And here we are. The space arboretum.
Alex, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
I am. Arborvita.
Whoa, what kind of language is that? You don't want to get space canceled. We don't use that word anymore. We just call these northern white cedar.
Oh, right.
I guess I sometimes forget the ugly dime a dozen A-word tree that is planted wantonly on our city streets isn't really a species at all. It's a cultivar.
Oh, yeah. But we've only ever covered a cultivar of this species, not the OG species itself. No wonder we got so many emails from angry East Coasters. These things are beautiful trees!
They certainly are. And they're one of the most celebrated trees we have here in the future.
Alex, this must have been the wrong Tobin was telling us to write. We hated on the A-word tree, but we never even gave its native counterpart the time of day.
I won't stand for it, Casey. This is officially a Northern White Cedar episode. Intro music, ho! What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary's Excellent Adventure. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Alex Croson.
I am another one of your hosts. Lamentable or not, I'm Casey Clapp.
Lamentable?
Well, I happen to know what we're talking about today, Alex.
Oh, yes. So, I thought you meant your presence here was lamentable.
Oh, I guess maybe it is the case. Because it may be that you're lamenting that I'm talking about this tree again.
I see.
And you're like, well, Casey hates this tree. I don't want to hear him hate on my favorite tree.
By the transitive property.
Yes.
You, Casey Clapp, are lamentable.
Correct.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yes. So anyway, I'm also a host of this show.
That's right.
Completely Arbitrost.
Do you know the song from Howard Shore's score of Lord of the Rings, Gandalf's Lament?
No.
It happens after, spoilers, after Gandalf fights the Balrog and falls down that big old hole.
The big old hole that those dwarves, right? They dug down so deep that they unleashed this Balrog inner earth. It's terrifying.
Too greedily and too deep, they say.
Yes, let that be a lesson to all of you.
Yeah.
Elon.
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think the Balrog is an analogy for?
Oh, that's a good question.
Deep state secrets?
I feel like deep hatred is what I feel like it is. Like, don't let your hatred get unleashed upon the world.
Don't dig too deep in your hatred?
Yeah, or like find yourself digging too deep.
Okay.
To find something that you hate, maybe?
I think it's government secrets.
You think so?
Yeah.
So like the Balrog is kind of like just, like it comes up and when it gets to the top, it just is like, did you know that UFOs exist?
Right.
To me, Alex, that would say then that Gandalf is in fact like a state representative. Like, no, kill the Balrog. Kill the Balrog, send it back down. We can't have this Balrog up here.
Gandalf's Bernie. I think we've established that.
But then when he want to like release the state secrets.
That's a good point.
Rather than keeping the Balrog down and dead.
Well, he also has to do his job. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
and the Balrog is the shooter on the grassy knoll.
Oh, gosh. There's a lot here, Alex. There's a lot here.
It's rich with metaphor.
It really is. There's a lot of canon that we have to really, really dig through in this case.
Well, Casey, speaking of canon, here we are at this LA Arboretum, the Space Arboretum.
Yes.
This future Arboretum. And around us are all of these Eastern white cedar.
Yes.
How fascinating.
Yeah, and also fascinating that after 600 years, the climate of Southern California has actually transitioned more to be like the northeast of North America.
Right.
Did not see that one coming.
It's I think has probably happened, Casey, is advances in like soil technology.
Oh, so we the tree itself was able to move down here because we're like, oh, we know how to grow trees literally anywhere.
Yes.
Now. I see.
And the climate of the, I think it's a controlled climate in this arboretum.
I got you. We'll ask Clobin about that. See what he thinks. He's probably got a good answer for us.
What a weird guy.
He is a weird guy. I feel like he's right behind me all the time.
His chin resting on your shoulder.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, we have got some words to say, both informational and apologetic.
Oh.
We'll see.
We'll find out, Alex.
On this episode of The Completely Arbitrary's Excellent Adventure, we are talking Arborvita, a.k.a. Eastern White Cedar. But we must do so after a break. We will be right back with more Completely Arbitrary's Excellent Adventure.
Radical, dude.
Hi, everybody. Or should I say, hola a todos. I want you to hear something. It's this. Yes, that is the sound of learning a new language with Babbel. You have, of course, heard of Babbel. You maybe even used Babbel. But if you haven't, Babbel is an app that helps you learn languages. Babbel is a science-backed learning language app that actually works. Let me put it this way. I knew somebody who used a different language app for 365 days and still could not even have basic conversations in the language they were learning on that app. Babbel is not this. They have quick 10-minute lessons and they're handcrafted by 200 language experts so you can start learning a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Because it's designed by real people for real conversations. In fact, a recent study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. And of course, the best way to learn a new language is immersion. You go and live in the place where the people speak the language you're learning. You speak to the people, they speak back. But the second best way is Babbel. And it's practical. It will very quickly teach you how to order food, ask for directions, speak to shopkeepers, without having to consult language apps while you're on vacation. And here is a special limited time deal for our listeners right now. Get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for Fungal Associates at babbel.com/trees. That's right. If you're listening to this, if you're a fan of this show, babbel.com/trees, get 60% off your subscription. That's babbel.com/trees. Rules and restrictions may apply. Adios. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hi, everybody. It's Alex here. And you know what? Come springtime, those trees are a-bloomin', those people are a-walkin' around, that sun is a-shinin', and it makes me so grateful for my social life. People are wanting to do things again, and it can be extremely rewarding to start to see friends more often and, you know, go on cute friend dates or romantical dates, sit on a patio and drink a coffee, ooh la la. But it's really easy to overdo it. And for me, it's very important to keep an eye on my social battery. Every time I go on a social outing, I come home and I'm like, wow, I am really tired in a very specific way. Well, that's my battery. That's my social battery being drained. And I didn't really have this language until I started going to therapy. I didn't know why being around people made me so exhausted, even though I love those people and enjoy being around them. But therapy helped me with my self-awareness and helped me unlock some language that I didn't otherwise have. And if you are struggling with feelings and thoughts that you don't understand, therapy can be a great way to unlock the power of understanding. And a great way to start is BetterHelp. It's completely online and it's designed to be super convenient and flexible, which is very important. How many times have you had a therapy session on the calendar and that time rolls around and you think, I gotta drive all the way across town. I am not gonna go.
It has, of course, happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to everybody who's been in therapy. No worries with BetterHelp. It's all online. And all you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, of course. And nobody nails it on their first time. It's like going on dates. You gotta find the right therapist for you. It's silly to think that the very first date you ever go on is going to be your future spouse. So you can switch therapists at any time, no additional charge. It's extremely easy. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/trees today to get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/trees. Happy spring. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary's Excellent Adventure. Today we are revisiting our third tree in this series, and that tree is the Arbor Vita, or Eastern White Cedar, if you're nasty.
Yeah.
Nasty being another term for East Coasters.
Nice. Good save. Was that a save? Does that count as a save, Alex?
I don't think so.
All right.
I think it was like an attempted slam dunk, and then I like broke my knees on the way
up. Hit the rim, and the ball just shot off into the crowd. They never gave it back.
Yeah, gave somebody a concussion. Casey, we were in LA last weekend.
We were.
I hate to timestamp this episode.
Hey, that's all right.
But there was a road close to where I was staying.
Yeah.
Called Arbor Vita Road.
How? Why?
Two words.
Ooh.
Arbor Vita.
Really?
Yes.
That seems strange to me.
Me too.
I suppose they are two words. It's tree and life.
Yes.
So they, you know, huh.
Tree and life.
Yeah, Arbor Vitae.
Wow.
Like Vita, you know, in Spanish.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I don't have any opinion on this, I've decided.
Okay.
It's okay to have two words or one.
Yeah. Oh, on that specifically, yes.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Casey.
What if for the rest of this show, every time we bring up, it's just like I'm almost like neutral on everything. Oh, Casey, well, what do you think about that? I'm fine.
Just can't imagine that.
It just wouldn't be good.
I would say you are the centrist of the two of us.
Okay, that's fair. All right.
More centrist, I think, than...
Isn't that really?
Maybe you're just more well-rounded and level-headed. I feel like my opinions are very strong and just impassioned.
Yeah.
And okay. You also have impassioned opinions, but you also are very good at seeing both sides.
I try. But also, I feel like we definitely have swings. Some things I'm very much like impassioned about without any consideration.
Yeah.
Other than maybe saying like, well, some people, but not me. I hate this tree.
Right.
But yeah. All right. I guess maybe you're right.
We compliment each other just fine. Casey, let's get into the Arbor Vita 2.
This time... We're referring to it, and I think we should do this as the Eastern White Cedar for the rest of our trip.
I agree.
Okay.
Eastern White Cedar 1, Arbor Vita 2.
Well done. That's it.
Well, let's imagine that you and I, hey, we don't even have to imagine, huh? Here we are in this space arboretum. We're surrounded by Eastern White Cedar. Casey, we've ID'd this tree before, as we have all these trees.
Yes.
But let's give a quick re-ID of this tree.
Sounds like a great idea. So this is an evergreen conifer. Specifically, it is an evergreen conifer in the Cupressaceae family, which means it is in the cypress family.
Yes.
Now, most of the cypresses, but of course not all, have scale-like leaves. And this is a tree that has generally always scale-like leaves. Every now and then, some of them kind of pop off and get a little kind of pointy, a little awl-shaped.
Oh.
But pretty much they're going to be kind of oppressed. They're not going to be oppressive. However, they're not going to be pokey and scary. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they will. So they're mostly, they're definitively scale-like.
Yes.
But every once in a while, they'll kind of pop out to fashion.
Exactly. Especially if they're like a big, vigorous shoot, you know, they kind of go, wah!
Oh, sure.
Pop out a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, they're not trees that are extraordinarily rambunctious, I would say.
What do you mean by this?
They're level-headed trees. They're not going to get more than, I think the maximum I found is about 111 feet tall. It's about 34 meters.
It's respectable.
It's respectable, you know, but that's like, that's out there. I've never seen any get more than like 50 feet tall, personally. Oh, okay. Like not even close to 50 feet.
Not even this eastern white cedar in its native range?
Not really, no. But okay. I haven't, I'll admit, I have not seen a lot of them there. But the ones that I do recall seeing were growing out on rocks and like kind of in exposed headland areas.
Okay.
And they just did not have that height stature.
It's hard to when you're in that zone.
Right, yeah. They do, however, get pretty large, 6 feet in diameter, about 2 meters, I've seen.
Very respectable.
So it's a respectable diameter of any given tree. Now, they are, for all intents and purposes, the small versions of our giant western red cedars over here.
Can I just say the tone of this episode so far is very much similar to like a presidential debate when they're like, do you have something nice to say about your opponent? And they have to be careful. They can't say something too nice, but they need to say something, you know?
Yeah. So are you saying that I am talking about my opponent or you and I maybe?
You were talking about our opponent, but we're trying to be
nice.
Walking on eggshells a little bit because we don't want to praise it too much.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I'm getting.
Honestly, it's 6 feet. It's pretty good. It's not the best. I've seen better. 100 feet tall. Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, they got themselves somewhere, but I'm 100 and a half.
It is of respectable diameter.
Yes. But no further comment.
Oh, Parliament, huh?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we kind of switched countries there, didn't we?
Yeah.
Well, I would say it feels right. I think that's okay to start with. You know, let's be tentative.
Sure.
Before we really describe and start to see if we can change our own minds.
Right.
So we're just being, I think, more objective here. Try not to lead our listeners one way or the other.
We're not quite ready to forgive our abuser.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone else is, you know? Like, I think it's very okay for us to say, hey, everyone, welcome back. We're going to bring everyone in the room. Okay, hi.
Right.
Arborvita, could you come in? Okay.
Everybody shifts in their seat.
Yeah, they're a little bit uncomfortable, you know? Arborvita's there. We just want to make sure this is a safe space for everybody, including our Arborvita, our eastern white cedar.
Yes.
So that's what I think I'm trying to do. So I'm glad you brought that up, Alex. I'm glad that's coming across.
Well, thanks, Casey. Casey, let's talk cone.
The cone is, I think, still very cute. Honestly, the cutest bit. You know, like, it's like a little button nose on top of this tree. I just think it's adorable.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly cannot tell the difference between it and Western Red Cedar.
Ah, I'll help you.
Okay.
Okay, this is great. So the Western Red Cedar, if you flip over the bottom of the leaves, you take two, Eastern White Cedar and a Western Red Cedar, you flip the leaves over. The Western Red Cedar, Thuja placata, will have little tiny white stomatal lines on the bottom.
Now, hold on, Casey.
Yeah.
I think this is important to finish, but I do want to interject and say, I'm talking cones.
Ah, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm looking at a really... I skipped over to how to tell them apart. Pardon me.
I'm talking about telling the cones apart.
Yes.
Between the Western Red Cedar and the Arborvita.
Yes. Eastern White Cedar. So, Eastern White Cedar, the cones are a little bit more squat. They're not quite as tall and skinny.
Okay.
And when I say tall and skinny, I mean like you're going from a half inch to 3/4 inch.
Right.
So it's, you know, give or take a little bit.
I feel like even
descriptor here.
Not even that. I feel like they're like a centimeter long.
Yeah, they're not big. They're very, very short little things. And they're much, much more kind of broad, more oval-like. They look a little bit more egg-shaped.
Okay.
They also tend not to have as many little points at the scale tips.
Oh.
That's another, it's a very, very subtle thing. You can't tell the difference often when they're open, but when they're closed, you can see kind of a pretty good example of short and squat, very smooth, a little taller, a little skinnier with a couple more points.
Okay, so this is like the scales themselves are a little more rounded.
No, the whole thing, the whole cone.
But also the scales, yes?
Yeah, I'd say, okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the Western Red Cedar, those scales are a little more pointy.
A little more pointy, correct. Okay. Pointy, and they kind of come off, so if you can actually poke your finger on them.
I see.
Yeah. Now, as I was saying earlier, the leaves are also a good way to tell the difference, where if you flip them over, Western Red Cedar has white stomatal lines and it looks like a butterfly kind of pattern on their leaves. Whereas the Thuja occidentalis, which is the tree we are talking about, the Eastern White Cedar, they do not have those white markings. They are just green on the bottom.
Okay.
So two easy ways to really quickly tell them apart.
Have we gone in depth on stomata?
No, not really. No, we kind of just, it's just a good thing to mark. We haven't really, well, we did when we talked about leaves, maybe.
Yeah.
But that was on a Patreon episode some time ago.
I feel like I remember them not having any sort of like real purpose.
Yeah, it's just kind of a white waxy coating that's on the underside of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose is probably to help keep certain waterproofing kind of situated.
Okay.
That's about all I can think of.
All right.
And I would need to look. I was actually talking about this last weekend, trying to figure out like what exactly it's there for. So yeah. I'll look into it and get back to you.
Well, wonderful. Casey, we skipped over the bark, regrettably.
Oh, regrettably.
Or not.
Or not. Just kidding. This is fine bark. It's actually, it's very beautiful bark. It's kind of has long, strappy, kind of fibrous looking kind of appearance. And it has what looks to me to be a very fine texture. So compare it to our Western red cedar. They look very, very similar. The biggest difference being Western red cedar grows bigger, so those kind of furrows and straps get way larger.
Yeah.
Whereas our Eastern equivalent will stay much smaller, so they look a little bit more finer textured furrows.
I do feel that just by virtue of being in Cooper Saisier,
yeah,
it just like kind of has a good bark.
They do. It's just all of them have just great bark.
I love cypress bark. It's cypress incredible. Family bark.
Yeah. And that is like, it's a thing, I think, that kind of comes through with the whole family. That's half the reason they yeah. are so successful is they all have this like really good, nice, fibrous, semi fireproof, like shaggy, gorgeous red bark.
Yeah. Mm,
just, they always crush it.
You gotta love it. Well, that Casey.
Just gotta love it.
That was our, I loved your face just now. I wish we could have captured that.
Thanks.
Really should start video. That was our.
A quick recap.
Quick re-ID,
yeah,
we'll call
yeah,
it.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a middling treat, you know?
Mm.
But, Alex, I have to say.
Oh, boy.
We got an email back in January of 2021. You remember that?
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, this would have been when the Arborvita episode aired.
Yes, exactly.
And was this from a listener, Casey?
This was. Listener named Chris McAnally.
Okay. What did Chris have to say?
Chris said, loving the podcast. Thank you, Chris. You're the best. But then said, hey, I also I respect you guys' authority, which is also like, that's right, Chris.
you flinch at him.
This tree sucks. No, but he went on to say, hey, actually, I think there's a really cool thing that you guys should look into. And they were one of several different people who messaged us and said, whoa, arborvita is not so bad. We call it the Eastern White Cedar around here. And it's pretty cool.
Right.
And we talked about that a little bit in the show, but we didn't really focus on it because, as you noted, we focused on the cultivar, which is arborvita, which is how 90% of people in the country probably know it.
Sure.
So we are going back to now do it justice.
That's right.
Looking at it as its OG, the actual tree, because I think it's the only tree that we've more focused on the cultivar than we have the actual normal, like, found in the wild species.
Yes. That was maybe a, you know, I think when we first started the show, we were like, what are some like hot opinions that we can like shovel out, you know?
Yeah.
And like doing an arborvita, which in Portland, it doesn't matter how beautiful and majestic they are on the East Coast. If you live in Portland, you hate them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I still to this day don't think I've ever found an actual like normal, not cultivared species planted or individual planted
on the West Coast.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen one.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe I've just missed it. Maybe I misidentified it as a Western red cedar.
Sure.
I don't know, but so far I can't think of one.
Now, riddle me this, Batman. Is a cultivar the same species as its parent species?
Yes.
Okay, so it is literally just a change in common name.
It is, but it's also the like kind of OG common name, and it actually came from the French captain Jacques Cartier. He was an explorer from France who came over and had two Huron boys, like two little boys from the Huron people,
okay,
in this region. And he was sailing up the St. Lawrence River, and they were all, he and his entire crew, including these two little boys, were suffering from scurvy. So they then led off those two boys and assumed they were going to die because they were clearly completely wrecked by scurvy.
Christ.
They sailed back down, visited the village again, and the boys were totally fine. And they're like, what the heck? What just happened? They talked to the tribe, and they said, oh, yeah, well, here, you just take these needles, you chop them up, you boil them, you get vitamin C from this tree that had never been seen before. Then they solved the whole problem for all the rest of the sailors. They sailed back, and the tree they called at that point the Tree of Life, because they gave it, literally saved this entire crew.
Wow.
That's where the name Tree of Life, Arborvita, in this case, came from.
Holy shit.
First tree ever brought back from the United States, or rather, I'm sorry, from North America, the now newfound, quote, world.
Yeah.
Brought back to Europe. It was the Arborvita.
The very first tree brought from the, quote, new world to Europe.
That's exactly right.
That's incredible.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Back in, like, 1536.
Okay, this is some street cred.
Exactly, right? But
I will say also seed cred.
Oh, nice. This is some seed cred. So here's the thing that I thought about, Alex, is that So Arborvita is Latin. So if you say Tree of Life, it's Latin. There are trees of life all over the place. People think if you're in certain parts of Africa, the baobab is the tree of life. I've heard the coconut palm be called the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
The Western red cedar, the tree of life. Like, it's consistently this tree, or there are consistently trees that people use for every aspect of their life.
Right. A tree that's sort of like you can base your culture around it because you could just use it for everything.
Exactly.
It's a great name.
Yeah. And so this is like a Europeanized name of what was probably a vernacular name for the plant also.
Okay.
So I haven't found 100% what that was. I don't know what the Huron people's term for this tree is and what that would be translated to, kind of, you know, to modern day English.
Sure.
But they basically said, this is called the tree of life. They didn't say, oh, well, this is the Huron cedar. They said, this is just the tree of life because it's amazing.
Wow. This is an interesting trajectory, kind of linguistically. Was it considered a taxonomic name at that point? When was Linnaeus? 17, 18?
Yeah, in the late 1700s.
This was pre-taxonomic classification.
Yeah, so Linnaeus named it like maybe about 200 years later. He used the term Thuja, and probably at that point, Arborvita was the common term for this tree in Europe. And then that came over and was used further in North America.
There's been a great error here, Casey.
Yeah.
The Eastern white cedar should be named Arborvita.
Rather than the opposite way around?
Yes.
Ooh, now that's a hot take, Alex.
And the cultivar should be named Western white cedar.
Well, God. But they plant it all over the place as this, you know, Arborvita cultivar.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. And I should
doesn't
say,
doesn't have to make sense. All right, kidding?
That's fair.
What were you going to say?
I was going to circle back and say the reason that a cultivar is the same is that it's just the same species, but it's got some thing that is different about it. And then they just keep breeding it for that particular thing, or they take cuttings of it and then regrow those.
So the thing that is different about the Arborvita as opposed to the Eastern white cedar is its morphology, correct?
Yes, is that it grows really tight and upright and very slowly.
Okay.
Those are kind of slowly. The big things. Yeah, it doesn't grow at the normal speed. It grows at a reduced speed, so it's kind of like a dwarf variety of the native wild species.
Why do you want it to grow slowly? So you can prune it and have it not get out of control?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. A slow growing hedge plant is usually the standard because they stay kind of in situ, and this has always been used as a hedge plant. So if they're just growing really fast, you have to come back and maintain it all the time.
I see.
But if it grows slowly, and you have it all nice, and you say, okay, there's my nice hedge. You come back in a year or two, three, four, and you say, okay, zzz, now you have your nice hedge again, and it's very manageable.
It's so grim for some reason.
Really? Why do you think so?
I guess just like turning this like piece of nature into this like human-centric commodity.
Alex, we have a whole podcast about this. It's called No Good, Very Bad Tree.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, I think this is the first time it's really clicked for me, like how that's, I feel like that's a little upsetting.
Yeah.
Are you upset at that?
I'm not upset by it, but I do turn my nose down to it often, or nose up to it, I guess.
Up.
I don't really like cultivars most of the time.
Wow.
And it's mostly because it's a change in the way the tree has evolved and grown over millions of years.
Right.
So most of the trees that we've ever covered have been doing something the way they've been doing it for so long that they've got it down, right? In fact, I shouldn't even say most. I'm going to say all. Some of the trees we cover have been, like, you know, with humans for so long, like the Japanese cherry tree, sure, the quince, these kinds of plants.
Special example.
Yeah. But like any random wild tree that we cover that's not used in any particular sense, they're just going to be growing the way they've always grown.
Sure.
As soon as we make a cultivar, mm-hmm, we are choosing and selecting for certain things that nature has never chosen for. So right, they usually come with some other baggage. And maybe that's like disease susceptibility. Maybe it is poor roots. Maybe it's more predisposed to decay, something like that.
Okay. So the opinion that is in real time forming for me here,
yeah,
is that cultivars are very human centric.
Yeah.
We cultivar a wild plant so that it serves a need for humans.
Yeah. Or it has some curiosity that we like.
Sure. Which is also a need.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah.
For entertainment or,
sure,
or
yeah, yeah,
aesthetic or whatever.
We must be entertained.
I'm imagining like an arborvita in a cage.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Victorian people sitting around clapping and yelling
exactly
at it.
Exactly. It's just sitting there.
Yeah. Poor guy. So I can see two perspectives on this. I can see the biologist,
yeah,
being like, that's so exciting. We can manipulate the DNA in a plant,
yeah,
to make it look like whatever we want and serve any purpose. That's,
sure,
that's, well, exciting. In the same way that people are like, oh, wow, there's 17 different flavors of Cheez-Its. That's incredible. Food science is amazing.
Yes, I think that's fair. The one thing I want to note is that the DNA is all the same.
DNA is the same. What am, yes, I meaning to say?
So there's two things here. There's the genotype and the phenotype. And there's also the fact that there is, this will be really easy.
Okay.
The genotype is whatever's in your genes. So like, okay, every human has X amount of genes. Like we all got the same amount of genes.
Okay.
But we all look different. Those are our phenotypes.
Okay.
So a tree has all these different genes, but some genes mutate and some turn on, some turn off, some don't turn on.
Oh, I see.
You know, and all these things. So it's less of a DNA thing, more of a
genetic thing.
Yeah, yeah, okay, exactly.
So, okay, so these plant geneticists.
Yeah, right.
Is that what it is?
I think that's fair. Or just plant breeders, you know,
okay,
or just a horticulturalist is a fine term as well.
Okay, so I can see that being interesting to people.
Yeah.
And like kind of like cool, like, yeah, using science to, you know.
Yeah, just doing, you know, breeding projects.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I think they some of them can be very fun and come up with some brilliant things.
Sure.
The London plane tree is an example of a hybrid, you know,
mm-hmm,
where it's a great tree, but it's also like, that's the one exception where there are other trees that are hybrids and all these other weird varieties that I think you're about to get to.
Well, potentially.
In terms of your opinion. Sorry.
Oh, sure. Well, I think the other side of that perspective is like the naturalist who's like, no.
Purist.
Yes. Do not take what nature has made so perfect over millions of years and think that you, a human who's only been around for 40,000?
Yeah, at most. I mean, doing this thing that we're doing, maybe 5,000, 10,000 at most. Yeah.
So that you have the solution to make this thing better, or you can improve upon it, or
yeah.
I think I can see both of those sides. I think I land somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, that's fair. It might be a case by case thing, Alex.
Yes, I also agree with that.
Yeah.
So where do we land on the Eastern White Cedar?
Well, I think this is a perfect dovetail into the natural tree.
The natural tree.
Yes. So that's where I think we should focus for a little while. And I have some interesting, curious things to bring up.
Okay. I love interesting, curious things.
I'm glad you do, Alex. The first is this same listener sent us to essentially turned us on, turned me on to this idea of where these trees grow and how they grow, specifically along the Niagara Escarpment.
Escarpment.
Have you ever heard of this before?
I know Niagara.
Okay. Well, tell, what is Niagara?
I know Niagara as a waterfall.
Yes. Okay. It is the famous waterfall.
I'm assuming that area is called Niagara.
Yeah, I guess there's like cities called Niagara, sure. And I'm sure that it's a native name. I have not looked into that.
Okay.
All I spent my time doing was digging in to this geological thing.
Cool.
Called the Niagara Escarpment.
What is the Niagara Escarpment?
Alex, I'm so glad you asked.
My job.
The Niagara Escarpment is this geologic formation that goes from essentially kind of upstate New York directly west over to about, I think, Lake Ontario. Mm-hmm. Then it goes up in a big horseshoe shape through the Great Lakes and then makes a bunch of islands and then goes down the Upper Peninsula down towards Green Bay in Wisconsin and terminates right just into Illinois.
Okay.
It's this giant old ocean bed. It has been eroded down, or rather next to it has been eroded. It's very curious, Alex.
I'm Googling.
Okay, you give it a Google. I'll keep explaining and fumble through it. So this whole big area has the Great Lakes in it, and it also has a bunch of other landforms that have happened. So what happened over the last several million years of glaciers coming down and having water melt off, this section has this big, tough kind of layer, this cap of rock over the top of it.
Yeah.
And water has eroded away parts of it and kind of exposed a certain side where that cap kind of stops. So as you're walking through certain parts or you're on some of the Great Lakes, you can see where there's just this giant cliff of like this dolomite rock that looks very blocky. Like it looks almost like someone took a bunch of bricks that are way over massive size and set them up on top of each other and then set those in the middle of this vast kind of eastern deciduous forest. So you can walk through some towns in Ontario, in New York, like Rochester, and you can just see this exact line. Some people call it the mountain. Native tribes historically used to call it the giant's rib. And it looks like this big, long arc of between 200 and 1,000 foot cliff overhanging the lower lands around it.
Wow.
It's very fascinating. And I had never heard of it until A, we got it sent over to us, and then B, after I started digging into this episode and then learning that this is kind of the place that the Eastern White Cedar really shines.
Hey.
And I was like, okay, all right. I'm getting convinced here. This is a pretty cool tree.
So the Great Lakes are like a giant sunken living room.
A little bit, I guess. Yeah, to some extent. Did you find how where it looks? Did you see that?
You explained it just fine.
Okay, great.
It's a curious thing. It's I look at it and I'm like, is this AI generated? This is very strange looking.
And you would think, so out here in the West, everything we have is mostly, there's a lot of erosion, especially in the Southwest, but there's also a ridiculous amount of volcanic and tectonic activity,
mm-hmm.
way more like by a matter of 100% than the East. So the East, everything like has evolved and the mountains that have been over there have been there for like tens and hundreds of millions of years longer than what we have had out here.
It's just so much older.
Exactly.
Okay.
And they're just not active as they used to be. So when you see this, my brain thinks of something you'd find down in like Capitol Reef National Park or something like that, where there's this big weird fold in the planet's crust and then that pops up and you look at it and you're like, well, what is this? It's so weird.
Right. It's almost like, you know what it kind of reminds me of? Was it Inception where like the road bends
yes.
up?
Yeah. So that's totally a good thing to think about. So in this case, the land has always been there and it's always kind of been at a normal level. But because one area has this cap of very hard rock, softer rock around it is what has been eroded over time. So this 250 to 1,000 foot difference in the land is just the result of just millions of years of erosion, slowly but surely eroding away rocks on one side, but not on the other.
Fascinating.
So you get this big thing.
So the Eastern White Cedar is all about this escarpment.
Yes. And it grows on the side of it in the most beautiful ways.
Wow.
You're familiar, because we just went and talked to some of these people about the Yamadori bonsai.
Yes.
And for those of you who are not, that's the idea that you go out and wild collect some tree and then bring it back in and cultivate it in a pot.
Sorry, bonsai.
Bonsai. Excuse me, Alex. You're right. I made the decision that I needed to start saying that. We'll talk about that later, everyone.
Wow.
So this is how these trees grow all the time. And there are trees that are over 1,200 years old, still alive, growing, that are more, and actually in a book also that was recommended, is these trees are not growing tall. It's more of a better description to call they're growing long, because some of them are growing literally out of a crack on the side of this vertical cliff and are growing out and downwards.
Wow.
Because it's gravity, you know? They're just going to grow outwards, but then they're going to slowly but surely kind of angle down, you know, like covered in snow and ice. Like, they're just like these massively tough trees that would be perfectly at home growing in what we would think of like a alpine kind of habitat. Mm-hmm. They're just getting battered by ice and wind. They look like a white bark pine over here, or a bristlecone pine.
Sure.
Like that.
Okay. These scraggly sort of wind beaten.
Yeah.
Kind of wonkadoos.
Exactly. And they just go whoosh out.
I just have one question.
Oh, yes.
Why? We've talked recently about, I think you said, trees don't grow to seek something.
Yes.
They grow in the presence of something.
Correct.
So these trees must just find value in growing here, or else they wouldn't grow there. It's not like they can get up and migrate. I know I'm not suggesting that.
But I mean, they would die if they didn't prefer that habitat.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they would be barren if it weren't a good place to grow.
Now, see, I think that it's really actually speaking to the toughness and quality of the Eastern White Cedar.
Definitely.
Where it gets its seed blown into this tiny little crack, this little bit of space with some water, a little bit of soil, starts to grow there and never gives up for 12,000 years. Okay, for 1,200 years.
Oops, you added a zero.
Hup, my bad. And doesn't, like, it just, they just keep going. So I think they're just like, well, okay, here I am. I can do this. If I can't, I'm going to die. So I'm just going to do my best.
Yeah.
So I think you're right. But I think it's more that they're the only trees that are adapted to grow in such exposed, rocky, unforgiving territory.
Yeah.
And they just kind of do it.
They find themselves there.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
They find themselves there and they just keep going.
So I've got a question about this gravity thing. They grow kind of out and down.
Yeah.
Does that, what is stronger, phototropism or gravity?
Ooh, I think
it's gravity, right?
I think gravity, yeah.
Okay.
So I think this is more that as the tree is growing and it gets caught with, you know, a bunch of snow or ice on it, kind of bends down, and then it will just kind of stay there, because if that keeps happening year after year, at one point it gets hard and tough enough that it doesn't bend anymore.
Right.
So wherever it has kind of fallen, it will stay there.
I see.
But also, if maybe some rocks or something shift in its root base, that it might kind of fall down a little bit and then start growing back up as phototropism kind of kicks back in.
I gotcha.
So who knows? There's a lot of unknowns, because they all also have been there for hundreds and hundreds of years. So we can't tell 100% what has happened over their entire lifetime.
Of course, yeah.
But you can see that they started growing out, because that's where the light is. But then over time, whatever has caused them to cause, you know, this shape has made it so that they grow outwards and then end up often coming down and looking like these scraggly kind of shrubs popping off the side of this cliff.
Yeah.
There's also some that they've grown but were kind of bent over. Like, let's say they were growing on top of the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
but either something shifted. Maybe they fell over and then grew back upright again.
Yeah.
But they kind of look like L's where they come out and then grow up.
Yes.
And they're like inside and growing around all these rocks. Like it looks pretty wild and all these things.
That's like the I'm reminded of the Drunken Forest, Black Spruce Forest.
Very, very similar. Yeah. Like that is a similar thing that's happening where they're just falling over or moving in some regard and then just correcting.
Tough trees up there, huh?
Really tough trees. Yeah, and let's also like not forget that this is like Ontario, Canada.
Right, yeah.
Which is like a frigid place in the winter very often.
Yeah.
So, I have to give it to them. Like, that's pretty cool.
So begrudging.
And you know what else? Turns out other people have done this too. It is this entire kind of escarpment area in Ontario is a UNESCO World Heritage Biodiversity Site.
Wow.
Like, so not only is it like, yeah, this is pretty cool, it's like known to be a biodiversity hotspot and also is a hotspot for fossils because this used to be this old ancient seabed. So that old ancient seabed, you can go back and you can look in the rocks, you can find thousand year old trees, and you can find millions and millions of years old fossils of ancient animals that used to live in the seas that are now not a sea in what we call today Ontario, Canada.
Very interesting.
Very curious, right?
Well, I before we take our quick break and get into our review of the Eastern White Cedar, I would like to give the Niagara Escarpment Croson's stump of approval.
Fagoosh. That's what I'm talking about. Alex, great job.
It's been a while.
It's one of the coolest things like I've ever, like, and there's a whole path you can walk on. It makes me want to go to Ontario and recreate.
Yeah, I'm sure you can hike the whole thing, right?
Yeah, and it goes to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is like one of the premier spots for like beautiful, tall, eastern white pines.
Oh.
So all of the eastern white, you name it, are over there if they're a tree.
Including the people.
Including the Eastern White people. Go find them in Ontario.
Up in the woods. Hey, that was our discussion of the Eastern White Cedar. We have a duty to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a simple question to ask ourselves after this discussion. But we can't do that till we take a quick break and a word from our sponsors. We will be right back with Completely Arbitrary's Excellent Adventure. Alex here. Here's a little something about me. I love to be cozy. Coziness is of utmost importance to me, and I am in a constant search for coziness. And that is why we present to you Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth makes luxurious bedding and clothing products. And what do I mean by luxurious? Let me tell you this. I now have Cozy Earth sheets on my bed. I wear a full Cozy Earth sweatsuit to bed, and I have been getting the best sleep of my life. It is quite literally the softest material I've ever put on my body, and my skin is so happy in it. I usually have a little bit of a sensory thing. I don't like things touching my skin. Clothes are tough, but with Cozy Earth, I am treated to superior softness, unparalleled fabric, materials, and weave. This is a real endorsement. It's the most comfortable material to ever grace my birthday suit. And guess what? You deserve this coziness too. So treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear. And you know what? Completely Arbitrary listeners, A little inside detail here. You all get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. That's TREES for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. Now you go and get cozy.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary's Excellent Adventure. That was our discussion of the Eastern White Cedar. Casey.
Alex.
For this month of time traveling fun.
Yes.
We have decided not to give these trees a cone score because we already have.
We did, exactly.
Let me read our cone scores for the Arbor Vita back when we covered it on January 21st, 2021, a day after my birthday.
Uh-huh.
Happy birthday. Here's a birthday. Dumb, bad cultivar.
Wow.
I gave it a 3.1 Golden Cones of Honor.
Yep. Very, very deserved.
You gave it a 3.2.
Wow. I even went higher than you?
Yeah. Just cool. Barely. Maybe okay. You went first, and then I went lower than you.
Ah, I see. Okay. Statement.
Our next very, very low rated tree would be the Tree of Heaven.
Yeah.
In August of that year.
Okay.
And then after that, the Green Ash.
The Green Ash?
I gave it a 1.9.
Oh, yeah. You didn't like that tree?
I guess not.
Yeah.
I think because didn't it kill a bunch of... no, that was the Wilsonville bee kill, the linden.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, the linden didn't kill the bees.
I know.
Oh, God.
I know. So many wires. We're not going to give it a rating, but we are going to ask ourselves the question.
Yeah.
Does our discussion today change the way you feel?
Yeah.
About, and I will say, the Arbor Vita, because that was the original tree that we covered.
I think that's very fair.
So, Casey, as our resident expert, we'll begin with you. What do you think?
No, it does not change my review of the Arbor Vita. I hate the Arbor Vita. Don't plant it. Cut it down. Do something else. I refuse to back down. But for the Eastern White Cedar,
right?
Absolutely, this changes everything. Looking at it from a... from a perspective of, let's look at this tree and see what it does and where it does it.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a great tree. I think it's a cool-ass tree. It's the only tree that like crushes it on these sides. Everything I read about this escarpment is just saying the Eastern White Cedar is the tree that's growing here.
Like, wow.
I'm sure there are others. There's probably a bunch of shrubs. You can probably find a really tough broadleaf and oak tree, you know, over here, a pine tree every now and then, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But apparently, this is the only tree that is like, escarpment, yes, yeah. I'll take it, and just crushes it every time.
More like apartment. I'm living there.
Move-in day. Yes. Yeah. Great job. Really good job.
So, Casey, maybe we could give a golden cone score to the Eastern White Cedar.
I think that's what I'm going to do. And I know at the end of our last episode we did say that we're like, well, this is our bravado. So I'm going to stick with it, and I'm going to say for the Eastern White Cedar, it's still just a midland tree, and well, I guess it should be planted, but only on rocks. I'm going to give it a 7.0.
Fair. Good.
I think that feels nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nice job.
Thank you. Alex, I appreciate you saying that.
You're welcome. So I'm happy to give
complimentary feedback.
Sure.
Thank you. Alex.
You could have named anything there.
I'm happy to give it.
Me $1 million.
Yeah. Me too, $1 million. Thank you. So what about you? Do you have any opinions on this tree that have changed since the last time?
Well, the Arbor Vita, no. I guess I do like its name a little better, although... Although I think it's completely unwarranted,
what?
It's stolen valor. The Arbor Vita should be called the Western White Cedar. I will stand by that.
I think that's so funny. I don't want to break it to you, but I'm going to break it to you. They are planted as Arbor Vita all over the country.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I think, you know, I don't know. We have trees here that are called Eastern whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
So why does it matter?
Okay, that's fair. So
where was it? What lab was this monster made in? Maybe we can name it after the lab.
I mean, it wasn't a lab probably. It was probably just growing, and then they just found an upright version and then just cultivated that.
Well, we'll figure out a different name for the Arbor Vita. Right now, it should be unnamed.
The Eastern Arbor Vita or unnamed green tree.
Yes, unnamed green tree is fine.
Okay, all right.
Unnamed hedge tree.
Unnamed hedge tree, you suck.
But I think the eastern white cedar should be called the arborvitae. I think it deserves that name. Oof. Its name was stolen from it, Casey.
Yeah, and it just had to go back to the thing. Okay, I think that's fair. I think that's all right.
I'm surprised you're not more on board. You're a little hesitant.
I guess I have this it's deep-seated arborvita.
Right.
It's like a curse word. I know exactly what tree you're talking about, and I just think it's a dumb tree and I don't like it.
But you don't hate the name.
No, but I hate the tree,
not the name.
But they're all there. It's all the same thing. That's what I'm saying, Alex. Like I can't disentangle the two things.
Well, work
on
it.
I'm gonna have to try.
Work on it, bitch.
Jeez. So right now I gotta stick with arborvita. Poopy shitty tree. Don't plant it. Yes. I hate it. Eastern white cedar.
I thought this was my review.
It is, but I'm just trying to make it clear how I can conceptualize it.
Okay, okay.
Sorry, Alex.
Go ahead.
I don't need to step on your toes.
No, go ahead.
Eastern red cedar, eastern white cedar. Okay, we're done.
Eastern white cedar what?
Is a different thing that we're talking about today.
Yes. I see them as two different trees.
Exactly. So your argument is, say it one more time so it's clear.
The eastern white cedar should be renamed to the arborvita.
Okay.
Okay. The arborvita should have a temporary unnamed blank name while we find something dumb enough for it.
Okay. What if we just call it
insulting enough?
The hedge cedar.
Hedge cedar is perfect, Casey.
Yes.
The arborvita, this is canon. The arborvita is hereby known as the hedge cedar.
Hedge cedar.
The eastern white cedar is hereby known as the arborvita.
Yes.
Reclaiming its crown. This is like Arthur coming back and taking his crown.
Yes, exactly.
Maybe we could think of something less imperialist.
Well, King Arthur wasn't an imperialist.
Well, he's English.
Yeah, you know. But yeah, well, he was just looking after England at that point.
Sure.
He's just trying to get his people back.
Anyhow. That is my new very strong opinion on this matter.
I'm really curious to hear what your review is going to be.
Well, I will say before I give you my review, I want to say that because we have a time traveling stump.
Yeah.
We can go back far, and we can go back to 17, whatever.
1536.
Well, I'm talking Linnaeus.
Oh.
And say, hey, you know what? You should call this the arborvita.
Ah.
And then we time travel a little bit more forward to when they came up with the arborvita.
Yeah.
And say, you should call this the hedge cedar, because that's what it's going to be used for.
Because trust us, we have it in good authority. It's just going to be used as a hedge.
Calling the arborvita is like insultingly ironic.
I love how impassioned you've got on this.
I have no idea why. Yeah. I think it's because it's language. It has to do with the names that it's called.
Yeah. Well, I'm now curious what people are going to think of who insist on calling it the eastern white cedar, because that right now is the appropriate and less offensive, less trashy name.
Okay. Well, I think that your cones are your own.
Yeah. But your argument is that the less trashy name is in fact arborvita,
yes.
And it's been bastardized.
Yes.
Yes.
Precisely.
Gotcha. Corrupted, perhaps, is a better term.
It has been corrupted. It's been stolen by a usurper.
I love this.
So my cone score for the eastern white cedar, I think the escarpment thing is great. I love any tree that we've talked about. Why do you grow there-ness?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
This tree's got it.
It totally does.
Big time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it an 8.0.
8.0.
Yeah. Well, that was our review of the eastern white cedar.
Stunning.
Excuse me. Of the arborvita.
Wow. Honestly, I just did not see that coming.
Everybody loves a twist.
Oh, I'm just so tickled.
Casey, it's time for our completely arbitrary excellent adventure Q&A.
Oh, right.
We asked our patrons, we said, hey, ask your arborvita / eastern white cedar questions here. And our patrons delivered, Case.
Oh, right.
So we are going to do this rapid fire style.
Let's do it.
Because usually we just cover the one question. Today we're covering,
not today.
Oh, seven or so. Our first question regarding the arborvita is from Marcus. I heard on another podcast... You listen to other podcasts?
Marcus, we had no idea.
That there are no true cedars in North America, and that they are junipers instead. It was a quick bit, and they didn't embellish the fact at all. It sounds wild, but I have to know, are all cedars in North America a lie?
100%, except for the ones that we planted.
Is this true?
Yes.
There are no native true cedars in North America?
That's right. Correct. All true cedars are in the genus Cedrus.
Right.
Those are all from Africa, the Caucasus Mountains, the Himalayan Mountains, all of that kind of Central East Europe, West Asia, North Africa.
Lebanon.
Exactly. That's where they're all from. Those are in the genus Cedrus.
Right.
What we know and call cedars are often false cedars. And funny enough, the only juniper that we call a cedar really at this point, not the only, but one of the only, is the Eastern Red Cedar, which is Juniperus virginiana.
Okay.
Over here, we have the Western Red Cedar, which is Thuja plicata, which is related to the Eastern White Cedar, which is not closely, but also somewhat related to the Incense Cedar and the Alaska Yellow Cedar and all of the other things that we have that we call cedars.
Wow.
None of them are true cedars. They're all actually in the cypress family, whereas true cedars are in the pine family. So why did we do that? Go listen to a bunch of our episodes where we talk about that.
True cedars are in the pine family?
They are, yeah.
Cedrus is pine family?
Cedrus is in the pine family. That's right.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, it's a hot take. It's controversial, but it's fact.
There you go. Thanks, Marcus.
Ooh, boy.
From Jacob. More than one question. Okay. But why is it so buggy? Why does it make your skin itch when you come into contact with it?
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like in its natural habitat? And how can I get into contact with people to trade cones?
Ooh, everyone, get on our Patreon, find Jacob, and then trade some cones.
Yeah.
Send us an email if you have cones you want to trade.
Ooh, a cone share.
Yeah, it sounds great. I love that idea.
Like how you can buy snacks from Japan and you send them Doritos.
You send them snacks from America. Yeah, it was great. So why is it so buggy? It's a great question. I think it has very good habitat, first off. Also, it might be buggy because it's a cultivar that grows upright and is a certain color or something like that. So it doesn't have a really good immune system.
Right.
I don't know.
I did think that generally Cupressaceae bark is like better at keeping bugs out.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and they're not really affected by many insects. Like maybe some will like suck on the leaves or something like that. Mm. But for the most part, they're just not really too affected. So I think it might have more to do with the habitat because they're very dense often.
I gotcha.
A very good spot for things to live.
And why does it make your skin itch? I've got some theories.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to say tannins.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to say tiny little splinters.
Hey, sounds good. I don't know if it's splinters, though. I agree. Maybe with the tannins, but only if you, like, ingest them.
Okay.
I think it's actually mostly that it's kind of pokey. So if you jump on it, it, like, pokes your skin a little bit. So it feels like you're getting a bunch of little teeny tiny micro tears that don't even really cause you any problem, except they make you itch.
I see.
Yeah. I think there's also tends to be a lot of dust and other kind of decayed things in there, again, because they're so dense. So as soon as you go in and cut them down, they're just like filled with dust and old needles that have fallen and just kind of sat there and not quite decayed, but kind of decayed, like little mildew, a little mold.
They're filled with that?
Yeah, because they're just dense.
Like a pinata?
Not like a pinata. More like you layer something. You layer a newspaper on a newspaper on a newspaper on a newspaper and you leave it outside to get completely drenched. You let some moss grow on it and then you like open them back up after they've been sitting in the sun for a while and you kind of flip through them and they'll kind of go.
Sure.
That's kind of the same thing.
That's the bark?
No. It's a whole tree. It's a whole tree because they're very tightly packed little branches. Have you ever seen, you've seen a hedge, right?
I thought you were talking about cutting into it for some reason.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh my God, I'm such a numbskull. This time travel is fucking with my senses.
Yeah, are you okay?
Yeah, I get it now, Casey.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Wow,
yeah,
I was not putting something together.
Gotcha. The tiny splinters and the things, if you do cut into, though, is right. Also, it has purple heartwood for the first little bit when you cut into it.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
What does it look like in its natural habitat?
Oh, it's big. It's kind of gorgeous. It's not the biggest. It's not the most gorgeous, but they look natural.
There you go.
That's the best way to talk about it.
Yeah, as opposed to like a curated thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And then contact people with cones. I think we gotta get a cone share going, Casey.
Yeah. Hey, if you guys want a cone share, send us an email to completely arbitrarypod@gmail.com, and we'll set something up.
Sounds fun.
Probably have to get some permits, but we can always make it informal. There's a Reddit out there, right?
Just give us like a year.
Yeah.
We've shown people, because the premise of this episode was from an email from a year and a half ago. Thanks, Jacob. Casey. Hey, another Casey in the house.
Yeah, I love this person already.
What does it smell like?
Oh, they smell green. It smells like a little citrusy, very much conifer-ish. Like if you get into the bark, it's that kind of nice, musty, kind of foresty smell. The wood itself has a very cedar smell to it. Obviously, they call it the Eastern white cedar. But I don't really know how to even describe it. It smells woody and thick and kind of robust if you cut into the wood itself. The needles have very citrusy, but kind of a mellow citrusiness to them. Mostly just smells like a green plant with some tones of citrus kind of going pa, 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 pa. That's how I describe it.
Not as citrusy as a cypress, right?
No. And not as citrusy as a true fir, for example. So they're just good enough citrusy. Again, 7.0. Don't think too highly.
Just an essence.
Someone's going to be so mad I just added that in.
7.0 is a great score.
Yeah, thank you.
Not everything worthy has to be a 9+.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Amanda.
What up, Amanda?
Why do they call arborvita and junipers, quote, cedars, if they don't even look like?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, is arborvita a juniper?
No, it's not.
No.
It is in the same family, Cupressaceae, as junipers. Again, we kind of talked about this a little bit already, that it is mostly comes from their wood. So if you cut open a true cedar and you use that wood, it has a certain decay resistance and a certain smell. They would use it as a cedar box to, like, store things in.
Yeah.
As insects don't get into it. The things that we call cedars are a very similar wood product kind of thing. They have a certain smell to them, and they are disease and rather, I should say, insect and decay resistant,
right?
Specifically, so those are the big things that we used to kind of look at a tree and say, "Oh, this kind of looks like and smells like and wood acts like this." We didn't botany like, we didn't look at the trees in a sense of botany previously. We're saying, "Oh, this kind of looks like this other tree that we call this." It was more of a wood product thing. Like this tree has a similar wood that this tree has, therefore they're probably similar.
I see.
So that's why we changed those terms.
So the wood industry affected the science of it?
No, not the science. This is all just common folk taxonomy.
Oh, this is common taxonomy.
Yeah, so this is just someone went and cut down what later botanists said, well, that's actually a juniper.
Right.
But when they cut it down and they didn't have any idea or didn't really care about the botanical taxonomic location and term of this tree, they would just say, oh, yeah, well, that looks like a cedar, so we call it the Eastern Red Cedar.
Right.
And then when we actually look at it from a different point of view, we'd say, that's not a cedar at all, because those are cedars. I'm not even going to get into it.
In the same way that a Don Redwood is called a water fir.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Precisely.
Thank you, Amanda. Lizzie, have you ever tried arborvita tea on purpose or by occidentalis?
That wasn't a question, Lizzie. You just wanted to give us a pun.
Well, Lizzie then goes on to say, what's your favorite arborvita dad joke or pun? I think you just did
it. You just gave it to us. That was hilarious.
I do like the word arborvita.
Was it just by occidentalis?
So arborvita kind of sounds like the answer to like a riddle, like a linguistic riddle.
Arborvita.
Like arborvita. And then everybody laughs.
Yeah, well, we'll come up with that joke one
like
of these days.
You come to my garden party, okay?
All right.
You bring the potato salad.
Yeah.
And arborvita ambiance.
An arborvita.
Yeah, so have you tried arborvita tea, Case?
I have not. I have not done that. I have tried tea from other green things, like the Western Red Cedar, which is very closely related, but not arborvita specifically.
And is that just mashing up the needles and pouring some hot water and letting it steep?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, cool. And so it's very like, it's a tea, so it's not like a robust kind of coffee kind of thing. But so you just get like this kind of green flavor of citrus, and that's, gives you a bunch of vitamin C, saves you from scurvy.
Scurvy. Sounds great. Emily. Hey, we met Emily at the Powell's Jews Love Trees reading, Case.
Yeah, we did.
How fun.
Hey, Em.
Is this the same Emily?
I'm not sure.
I don't think it is.
Well, we met an M at that event, and we would like to say to them, hello.
Yes, hello, Emily. My toddler is fascinated by the brown tips on Arborvitae near us. What specific pathogens or environmental conditions can make Arborvitae die off in spots?
That's a good point.
What do you think, Case?
Well, there's a lot of different things. Arborvitae get some cankers, and there's like the molds and mildews I was talking about because they're so dense, like there's just no airflow that comes through.
Yeah.
They also get sun scorch often if they are sitting in conditions that aren't quite right for them. They'll just get blasted by the sun and get like brown tips on them.
Yeah, to put such a like a put such a like subarboreal tree in like a hot like suburban neighborhood seems so cruel.
It is. I mean that they're it's kind of the thing that happens. They like a cushier, wetter, cooler environment.
Yeah.
So once they get something that is, you know, your front yard that's dry half the winter out here, dry half the summer, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's just not the right thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, some grow and some do really great. But they also get, sometimes, let's see. So I'm on a little quick website. They get bagworms, spider mites, aphids, tip blight is probably a pretty big one.
Wow.
Which is from a little fungus. So they get a lot of diseases, and because they grow slowly and they stay small, their diseases are like always kind of in your face.
I see.
They also routinely get planted too deep and die from either too much water or not enough water, or often they have some diseases that get into their roots and kill the roots. So you just get a tree that just kind of dies very quickly after you plant them, but you also plant 10 in a row and like two of them die, so you have this really weird like kind of splotchy thing.
Yeah.
You take those ones out and you plant new ones. Inevitably you plant them too deep, but now they're like 6 inches shorter than all the rest, so your hedge looks really dumb. That's just going back to episode 3. We don't need to rehash this. I'm sorry, everyone.
Thank you, Em.
I'm lowering my score, 6.0.
Oh my God, Casey, no. If anything, you should lower your score to Arborvitae.
Yeah, all right. I'm going to lower my score to Arborvitae 2.5.
Oh, the hedge cedar.
The hedge cedar. Thank you, Alex.
2.5. Andrew asks a very cheeky question, Casey.
Oh, Andrew, what is your question?
Should we plant more?
No. And you know what, Andrew? Thank you for asking. I appreciate that Andrew's got such a sense of humor. And I also appreciate that Andrew makes sure that we say no.
Casey's fuming.
Don't plant any more.
I say go ahead and plant as many as you want.
Oh, God.
Eastern white cedar, or as I call them, Arborvitae.
Yes.
But quit planting hedge cedar.
Quit planting the hedge cedar. Quit planting the hedge cedar. Quit planting the hedge cedar.
Ready? Quit planting The hedge cedar.
And fade us out, Alex.
It's a vocal warm-up for theater students.
Just makes you sick.
Those were... We let the negativity of the Arborvitae leak into this episode that was supposed to be...
We got
to
get back.
Yeah. Thank you so much for all of our patrons for posting those questions about the Arborvitae.
Yes, please.
If you have a question for us about any old thing, join the Patreon of the $3 Quercus and Alder... That's Q&A tier. You can have the opportunity to have your question read on a mainline episode here, or fun stuff like this where you get to ask a question about a specific episode, or Q&A, patron-exclusive Q&A episodes. We do those every couple months or so.
Yeah, that's right.
Big old marathon. I say marathon. The last one was in two parts.
So. Yeah, that's true. So we have two half marathons.
Yes, yeah. Two half marathons. Oh, that's good. Above that is the Arboretum, our $5 tier. You join that and you get two bonus episodes a month about other related topics and trees. And of course, above that, the $10 tier, the Cone of the Month Club. Every month, we get an artist, an independent artist, to illustrate a conifer cone. We get a bunch of stickers made of that cone. We ship them to you in an envelope, guaranteed to be licked by Sir Casey Clapp.
That's right.
We should
We should look into getting united. I think this is
I think we should, yeah. I think I've done enough for the crown at this point.
There's been a shakeup in the family recently. I feel like we could really
take advantage.
Yeah. Above that is Arbitrary Plus, our live stream tier. Twice a month, you get a live stream, one from Casey and I, about a host of topics. You get to interact with us in the chat, and one from just me playing a tree or nature-themed video game.
That's right.
And above that, of course, is Generous Admission, our very highest tier. Starts at $20 a month. You can give whatever you want. It is the most generous of admissions. It is above and beyond. It is if you want to just give the podcast that little extra, and every dollar goes back into making this show the best it can be. We love and appreciate all of our patrons.
So, are you guys ready to move on?
Cloven, have you been standing here this whole time?
Yes.
He'll blend. He's a blender.
Space Seinfeld. I love that show.
Hey, where's Tobin?
He's probably done with lunch. Let me call him on my space phone. Boop, boop, boop. Hello? Tobin?
Alex, he's not even holding anything.
I know. What is he? Does he think we can't see him?
Hey, boys. How was the episode?
Tobin, thank God you're here. We just spent an hour making amends with one of our most scorned trees.
That's right. And now we have a renewed sense of purpose. We want to make amends with every tree we've ever reviled, which is a decision I'm making right now.
Yeah. No tree is inherently bad. It's the people who use and abuse nature's gifts. People are bad.
Good. You're learning.
But now you face your final and most challenging trial. It's time to apple-eye what you've learned. Stump, away!
Goodbye, Cloven. We'll always remember you.
Goodbye, Cloven. Send me a link for Space Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go.
Set date for Kazakhstan, year zero. Engage!
Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.